I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about what's going on in the news right now. There's so many things that are happening. We've got this upcoming election. We've got all the controversies going on. Many of you have probably been following the stories that they've been reporting now, even in the mainstream. I was surprised to see that Fox, at least, covered this expose from Project Veritas, where they've exposed the Democratic Party, or kind of an underground aspect of the Democratic Party that's been involved, apparently, in these attempts to upset the rallies of Donald Trump, that they're admitting now on camera. They went in and talked to these guys with hidden cameras, and they have admitted to being involved in deliberate agitation, where they're organizing, they're hiring people, sending them in to Trump's rallies and this kind of thing, trying to get them shut down. They're taking credit for all this chaos. And even beyond that, they've admitted on camera that they take part in voter fraud. That they, you know, they get people to register to go and vote and get them to go into other states and this kind of thing and vote when they're not supposed to. And then they talk about how, well, nobody's going to be able to prove it, et cetera, et cetera. It's really just a devastating series of video exposés on what these radical leftist groups, or really one group in particular, is doing on behalf of trying to get Hillary Clinton elected and trying to prevent Donald Trump from being elected. But it shows something that I think most of us, many of us who are paying attention to what's going on, kind of knew was going on anyway. But now seeing this documented evidence and seeing these videotaped testimonies it's just incredible. It's incredible. You've got this going on. Then you've got all of these stories happening in the news right now with Vladimir Putin and Russia. And there are all of these stories on the internet about everything from World War III that some people are predicting could begin before the end of the year. I mean, but of course, we've seen stories about World War III for several years now. I've done shows talking about wars and rumors of wars. And of course, this is the fulfillment of what the Lord Jesus told us would happen in Matthew chapter 24, where he says in Matthew 24, verse 6, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places." Well, we've seen all of that kind of thing going on. But this these stories now with Vladimir Putin and Russia and talk about World War III. I mean, there's even stories out there. Well, let's look at this headline from The Washington Times. The Washington Times has a headline, quote, "Election Corruption Watch. White House Threatens War with Russia for political points." That's the Washington Times. And the speculation is that perhaps the White House and the Obama administration are doing this to help get Hillary Clinton elected. They've been using the fact that Donald Trump has a kind of a favorable view of Vladimir Putin. He doesn't view Putin with the same hostility that others do. And so they're using that to try and say, well, Trump will be weak in a conflict against Russia. And so people need to support Hillary because she's not going to trust Putin. She'll oppose Vladimir Putin, etc. This kind of thing. Then you've got headlines on a variety of websites, but in particular, this is one from a UK newspaper called The Daily Star. And the headline is World War III, Get Ready for Russian Invasion. Americans in Alaska Told to Prep for Imminent Attack. Now, there's a number of websites carrying that story. And just to take it a step further, it says, quote, an unnamed former senior military officer has apparently claimed all evidence shows Russian submarines will enter the U.S. via the small village of Wasilla in Alaska. Okay, and then it goes on from there. Again, one of these stories where you have the unnamed former military officer, etc. This could be anybody. Is this a true story? I mean, it's a true story, but did it really happen? Is this really a military officer with this warning, etc.? But here's the thing. After 9/11 happened, after the 9/11 attack, you know, as Americans, you don't want to completely let your guard down. Of course not. And we are warned from the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, in the world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We're told that, yes, it is through much tribulation that we must enter into the kingdom of God. And we've seen countries be turned upside down before. So who knows what's going to happen in our country? One of the most powerful scenes for me in cinema on this subject is from the film Katyn, K-A-T-Y-N, which I've talked about on the program before. This is the film about the invasion of Poland by Germany and the Soviet Union, and then how the 20,000 Polish officers were taken, and the communists lied to their families, let them believe they were going to be returned home and so on, and then they took them all out to this remote forest called Katyn, K-A-T-Y-N, and there shot them all and killed them. Okay? But at the very beginning of that film, you see people from Polish people in Poland, wearing the ordinary type clothing that people wore back in the 1930s and 40s, but these were regular people. You know, people who were housewives, people who had, you know, been at home listening to the radio or whatever with their children quite often. And they're all running down the streets and down these roads. They're fleeing. They're fleeing their homes. Why? Because they've been told that their country's just been invaded. A sudden invasion. And they had to pack up everything, or not everything, obviously, but to pack up whatever they could and flee. And this is what they're doing. And the impression that you get at the very beginning of the film is that these were people who were just living their daily lives, kind of like America right before the September 11th attack. And then they woke up one day and bam, their country's being invaded. And now suddenly they have to respond. And it's obvious that many of them were not prepared, that they're just fleeing with very little and just trying to survive. But that's what happened to certain countries in Europe, like Poland. And it's that's why, on the one hand, many of these warnings and rumors and this kind of thing are going to go nowhere. Most of them are probably going to end up nowhere. But who knows what's going to happen? And when I see all these kind of things and there's all this manipulation in our elections, I ultimately believe these things, of course, are all in the hands of God, because He's most high above all. And we're told in the scripture, do not say it is a confederacy after all that this people call a confederacy. The Lord, He shall be your fear, He shall be your dread, and then shall He be a haven unto thee. This is what God says in Isaiah chapter 8, that ultimately we ought not to fear these conspiracies per se, but we ought to fear God. Why? Because God can throw down our enemies. God says, the Lord your God shall you fear. and he will deliver you from the hand of all your enemies. We're told this over and over and over again, that if we would fear God, God will deliver us from our enemies. That's key, brethren. And that is what I wanted to talk more about on the program today. And I want to go back to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, and look at the prayer of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 2. Now, Hannah, of course, was the mother of Samuel, and she had been a woman who could not have a child, and she prayed to the Lord, and the Lord granted her her first child, and then, of course, a number of others. But she was a barren woman for a time, and then she trusted in God, and she brings forth Samuel. And then she dedicates Samuel to the Lord, and he goes to live in the temple. And we read about this in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and so on. And then in chapter 2, this is where Hannah prays, and she says, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord, mine horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation." And then she goes on with her prayer. But she says this, her prayer in verses 9 and 10, she says, "He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed." Now, I did a show a short time ago on Cromwell, Oliver Cromwell, and the thunder of God. I'm talking about how when Cromwell passed away, when he died, the historians tell us that there was some violent, powerful thunderstorm that happened. So much so that people had different interpretations of what it might mean. My speculation on it is that it quite probably meant, based upon Cromwell's life and what happened, the fact that here you had a man who had no military experience whatsoever, and yet he rises to command his cavalry and an army that becomes the most formidable, unbeatable army anywhere in Europe. And he puts down King Charles I, puts down King Charles II, puts down all of these enemies one after another, so that the name Cromwell was feared all over Europe. Because nobody could beat this guy. No military training. And he accomplishes this. And of course, those who were Puritans believed it was the hand of God. And Cromwell did put down those who were really the enemies of the gospel, if you know that history. And so, was he an instrument in God's hand, thundering, if you will, upon the enemies of the Lord? And all right, so we are coming up on a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to go from 1 Samuel chapter 2, which we just read part of, and we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 7, where we're going to read an account of how in ancient times in the Old Testament, God literally thundered upon his enemies. When we come back right after this.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part 3 in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today, the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the Scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are talking about events happening in the news, all of these strange things that we're reading, that we're hearing in the news, and so on. There's all of this concern about this upcoming election and the direction of our country. What's going to happen to America? What's going to happen if Hillary Clinton's elected? Many people in the Christian community are very concerned about this. And right now, with the way the polls are looking, and there are people who don't trust the polls. There are people who say, wait a minute, the polls are being rigged and this kind of thing. Well, and that may be. There's certainly evidence of election tampering out there. There's no question about it. But ultimately, brethren, even with all of that, this is why these things, with all the concerns going on in the world, conflict in the Middle East, the threat of these groups like ISIS, the threat of what's going on with Russia, etc., as believers in Christ, it should be a reminder to us that we need to lift our eyes to heaven and seek the Lord. And there is a very powerful story in the Old Testament, one of many, where God delivers his people. Why? Because they had faith in him. And God delivers them from the hand of their enemies. All right, in 1 Samuel chapter 7. Now, we had read back here in chapter 2 the prayer of Hannah, the mother of Samuel, who she says that in verse 10, the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. Now, then you go to 1 Samuel chapter 7, and we read about what happens. Now, Samuel has grown up. He's a grown man. He's been fully accepted as a prophet of God by the children of Israel. And this is actually before Saul is anointed as king. This is before Saul becomes king. And, of course, Saul was the very first king of Israel. Well, actually, as Samuel says, when the people ask for a king, he tells them that what they had done was a wicked thing. Why? Because the Lord your God, he was your king. So we would say that God was really the first king. But in terms of an earthly king, Saul was the first earthly king of Israel. All right, so let's go to verse 2. And it came to pass while the ark abode in Kiriath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Notice what Samuel says to them, that if they repent, if they turn their heart unto God, he will deliver them out of the hand of the Philistines. Verse 4, then the children of Israel did put away Baalim and Ashtaroth and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And notice, they confess their sin to God. They repent, they turn away from it, they get rid of the idols, and they acknowledge that they sinned against God. The Bible says that those who confess their sin and forsake them will be forgiven, but those who justify their sin will be condemned. That's the difference. Right now, I think one of the biggest problems that we have in America is that we have a movement to justify sin, and to justify it and to declare that those who oppose sin are wrong and they're evil and they're bigots and all this other kind of stuff. And they are declaring that evil is good and good is evil. That's the biggest problem we have in our country right now, as I see it. So Samuel tells the children of Israel to repent. They do so. They confess their sins and so on. And verse 7, "And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, 'Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines.' And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, 'Hitherto hath the Lord helped us.'" And the name Ebenezer means literally the stone of help. The Ebenezer stone, the stone of help. And that's what we need, brethren. That's what we need as a country right now. We need the stone of help. We need the rock, Christ, as our stone. We need to stand on the rock. We need to put our faith in the rock. We need to be looking unto the rock of Christ, looking unto God. We need to be crying out to him for his help and his guidance, and to remember that he it is that will deliver us from the hand of all of our enemies. But when a nation sins against God, what happens, brethren, we see it over and over and over again in the scripture. When a nation sins against God and they rebel and they refuse to repent, God eventually delivers them over into the hands of their enemies. We find that happening to Israel again and again. And it's why, you know, we're working on a new project here, the True Christian History of America. And the point of the project is not really to necessarily prove that America is some kind of perfect Christian country, but part of the, because that you can't really prove. There is definitely a Christian history that goes back to the beginning with the Pilgrims and the Puritans and so on. There's no question about that. But what is really striking to me is that our forefathers understood, as William Penn, the founder of Pennsylvania, said, "If men will not be governed by God, they will be ruled by tyrants." They understood that choice. And I think it's just a powerful reminder. It should be that our forefathers understood it. They could understand at least that much from the scripture. And I think a great many other things from the scripture as well. But I want to go on here with 1 Samuel just a little bit further. So Samuel, he sets up this Ebenezer stone. And then in verse 13, we read, "So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel." Now, it's interesting. Samuel, all the days of Samuel, because Samuel was a faithful man of God. And God helped Israel against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Then if you keep reading now, of course, Samuel, he passes away at some point. And it's only after Samuel dies that King Saul, who disobeyed God, was defeated by the Philistines because he did not keep the commandments of God. But all the days of Samuel, who was faithful, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. Why did they prevail against their enemies? Was it because they were They had superior skill and all this other kind of stuff. No, it's because the hand of the Lord was against their enemies. And that's what we need, brethren. We need God's help and God's blessing in America today. All right, brethren, that's going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there. But we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.